I'm going to start with a difficult question, and that's a difficult question for me because I can't really see the audience because there's a huge flashlight in my eyes. But who was here in the last session by Gilles Clairen? Okay, great, almost everyone. He built an application for a fictitious company, TDD, Turtle Door to Door, not test-driven development. And that application, I'm going to take that Silverlight application into Windows Azure. But before I do that, let's go over pricing, how you would do this. And I'm going to show you hands-on how you would take this application and move it into Windows Azure. I'm Maarten Baljouw. I had a little bit of a traffic jam this morning. I hope it gets fixed by 2020, I think. They are trying to dig the tunnel. I work for Real Dolmen, and I mainly occupy myself with ASP.NET, ASP.NET MVC, PHP, Windows Azure, and I'm also an MVP ASP.NET. On all these topics, I try to blog, almost weekly. I try to maintain that same pace of weekly. It's always blog items on Azure, on ASP.NET, mostly deep tech. Then there's Twitter. Used to be my main vent for telling me people how much caffeine I abuse every day, but it's getting better, and I try to post interesting links on Azure, on ASP.NET MVC, and stuff like that on Twitter. So follow me on Twitter, and you get more information, unless you have a big collection of RSS feeds in your feed reader. So this session will be about cloud computing and Windows Azure. Who knows Windows Azure? Who has worked with it? Okay, not too many. Really can't see anything. I'm going to start with what is cloud computing and what is Windows Azure and explain to you why you would use Windows Azure and why you would use a cloud model for specific applications. Next, Turtle Door to Door, our case for today. For those who weren't in Jill's session, I will explain again what the purpose of the application was and why it was built and what we're going to do with it. Next, TDD is going to launch an online campaign. And there are some expectations regarding the number of visits, regarding the number of servers we are going to need. So we'll have to estimate that and create a cost model of it and see how much it would cost to host this application on Windows Azure in this case. Next, we're going down dirty into the codes, and we're going to take the existing Silverlight application and we're going to move it to Windows Azure. After that, I'll talk a little bit about scaling, because that's something that can really reduce your price on Windows Azure a lot. And since I'm not Microsoft, I can say don't pay too much. Afterwards, I'll tell you how you can get started, how you can start with working with Windows Azure, and how you can port your applications onto the Windows Azure platform. And if there's time left, there's some Q&A, and otherwise, come to me after the session. I'll probably be drinking coffee in the room next doors. So, cloud computing and Windows Azure. What is cloud computing? Has anyone tried looking the definition up on Bing or something? Who tried it? No one tried it. If you do so, you will find a ton of definitions. Really, I think there's 10,000, 100,000 of pages of search results of people describing cloud computing. The one I like, the definition I liked, is the definition NIST came with. It's an on-demand self-service. So you have an application, you want to host it, you need storage, you need bandwidth, you need something to host your application. Well, the moment you say, I need it, you can go to a portal, ask for it, and you have the service. There's no need to wait. There's no need to file a document with your internal IT department, go through a lot of signatures, go to a lot of approvals before you can get the service 3 weeks late. You can just go ahead, enter your credit card details, and host your application on demand on a cloud service. Next, there's a standardized access. You don't want a vendor lock-in. You don't want to go to a cloud vendor, have your application sitting there, have your data sitting there, and never get it back. You want to be able to read your data. You want to be able to update your application on the cloud. You also want, if you're not happy with the service or you don't need it any longer, you just want to take it down and make sure nothing stays on the data center of the cloud vendor. Next, you want it to be location independent. You don't want to care if your application is hosted in Amsterdam or in the United States. Well, for some types of data, confidential data, you do care about it. But usually you just want your application to work, be it in Amsterdam, be it in Dublin, whatever, you just want your application to be available. Next, rapid elasticity, which is kind of similar to the on-demand self-service. You just want to be able to scale up and scale down when needed immediately. Again, without a 3 weeks approval process in your company, just by saying, hey, I want 4 instead of 2 at this time. Next, it's a pay-per-use model. In theory, you should not be paying for what you're not using. I usually think of it like this: if you're into photography and you want to host or you want to store the images you took over the last weekend, maybe you have like 500 megabytes of pictures you took, you want to store it on a hard drive. What you usually do is go to a computer vendor, go to your supermarket, buy an external hard drive, and put your 500 megabytes on that. Well, you paid for 2 terabytes, but you're using 500 megabytes, so you paid a lot too much. With a cloud model, you just pay for what you're using. You're using 500 megabytes, you're paying 500 megabytes. You're using 2 servers, you're paying 2 servers. You're using them for 2 hours, well, you're paying 2 hours and not 24 hours, or a month, or a year, or 3 years. There are also some types of cloud services. There's, first of all, if you want to do everything yourself, you're responsible for everything, for networking, for the type of switch you're buying, for the type of router you're buying, for the actual cable between all devices, for the operating system, for the servers, for virtualization, really everything. If you want that responsibility and you want that amount of control, feel free, go ahead. Cloud won't replace this. If you really want to hug your server every day and you want to work with it in an intimate location, your data center, feel free to do so. Another type of cloud is the infrastructure as a service cloud, where the vendor is taking some of that responsibility and also some of that work out of your hands. So you're no longer responsible for networking, no longer responsible for servers, not for managing the server hardware, not for managing the network. That's being done by the vendor. What you're doing is managing, well, the operating system, the patches to that, the security updates to that, your application, your database running on top of that, and perfect. It's a good fit for a lot of applications, but again, if you don't feel comfortable with this, stay in your own data center. If you do feel comfortable with it, and you are comfortable with either giving away the responsibility or giving away the work and, well, paying less for the amount of work you have to do, go for IaaS. A third type is platform as a service. Windows Azure is platform as a service. What you get is a fully configured machine, and every machine is identical to the previous machine except for the IP address. So you know, if you're hosting your application on this, the server will be the same every time, which is great because you don't have to care about networking, not about the operating system. The only thing you have to care about is your actual application. So if you're not in a business doing all of the things below, why not just go for platform as a service, deploy your application on that, because that's your business, building this application, making sure your users and your clients are using this application. Again, don't feel comfortable with it, go for something on the left, which is there for you. If you are comfortable with it, go for platform as a service or infrastructure as a service. Also, it's not an all or one model. If you have an application and you want to host it in platform as a service, but you want to use your local database on your local data center, feel free to combine and pick the components you need and where you want to achieve a better value in costs and performance. Now, Windows Azure. Windows Azure is platform as a service, and it consists of several components. First of all, you have Windows Azure itself. So you have Windows Azure as the common name, and one of the components is Windows Azure. And what this is really a server where you can host your application. It is storage, where you can store your binary data, where you can store, well, something similar to a database, table storage, and where you have a queuing mechanism to, well, interchange messages between different instances of your application. That's Windows Azure. Another component is SQL Azure, where you have, well, SQL Server in the cloud. It's really SQL Server. If you're porting your application from an on-premise SQL Server to SQL Azure, it's literally executing the same script on SQL Azure, migrating your data, changing the connection string, and you're done. Not hard to do, easy as that. And again, if you have your own application service in your own data center, but you don't have SQL Server or you don't want to manage it, feel free to host your applications yourself and use SQL Azure on the other hand, because it's maybe a component that you want or could make use of. Next component is the App Fabric. It's not Windows Server App Fabric, it's Windows Azure Platform App Fabric. Sort of a tongue twister. It's two components focusing on integrating your application with an application in the cloud, both on access control level, so you have the access control service where you can externalize your Active Directory, for example, and make use of it in your cloud applications. On the other hand, there's a service bus, which you can use to interchange messages between your local application sitting in your own data center, behind a firewall, behind a proxy, whatever, with something in the cloud. You don't have to open a firewall. Your application doesn't have to be accessible from the internet, but you can still connect your application on-premise with a Windows Azure application, for example. Next component, a really interesting one, I think, is the project codenamed Dallas. And it's basically data as a service. If you need specific data in your application and you want to make use of data other people are providing, you can go to the Dallas website and pay per use of a query or pay per use of the data you're getting from there. On the other hand, if you're a company and you're sitting on a huge pile of data which you're not monetizing, it may be interesting to go for Dallas, put your data on Dallas, and have other people pay you per usage of this data. So it's interesting in both ways. Last project, it has been announced for quite a while. It's like the Antwerp Beltway. It's a VPN tunnel between your on-premise data center and your Azure data center or your Azure application. It's not there yet, and I expect more information on this one around PDC timeframe this year. The technology support. Who in here is a .NET guy or girl? PHP? Okay, some PHPers, which is always fun to see at a Microsoft conference, but great, welcome. Java, great coffee, by the way. Ruby, anyone? One, perfect. Those are all supported on Windows Azure. So if you're using .NET, you can use .NET on Windows Azure. You're using PHP, well, there's a perfect plugin in Eclipse that you can use that has the same functionality as you have in Visual Studio to deploy and develop your applications for Windows Azure. Same goes for Java, same goes for Ruby. Some other technologies, MySQL, Memcached, Jetty, all alternatives for existing technologies, you can host them on Windows Azure as well. They're not supported officially by Microsoft, but I have seen people hosting MySQL on a Windows Azure server. Now, next thing, Turtle door-to-door, our case for today. TDD, not test-driven development, but Turtle door-to-door is a company which is something like UPS and FedEx shipping packages from your door to the receiver's door. And that's what they do all day in 48 hours. Your package is being shipped from one location into another. Now, they're a little bit small. They're not FedEx, they're not UPS, they're not DHL, and they want to grow. And in order to achieve that, they're focusing on the Christmas and New Year period this year. And what they want to do is run an online campaign where people can send e-cards from one to another and, well, have these e-cards branded with a TDD logo and a link to the TDD websites and basically a commercial where you can send free e-cards, but there's no such thing as a free lunch. You're making a commercial for TDD. Now, Gilles, in the previous session, has developed an application for this. And what I'm going to do is take this application and move it onto the cloud. Now, in the end of Gilles' session, he was talking about, well, we want to move it to the cloud. And maybe, well, the first question I asked Gilles was, do you really want to move to the cloud? And before going into all this fancy new technology, it may be a good time to think about whether you have to go or you want to go to the cloud or not. But there's some good reasons for cloud here. The amount of users using this application, unknown. The amount of users actually sending an e-card, unknown. We know that this application will be around for about 3 months, starting November till January next year. Maybe some unpredictable peaks. Maybe someone of a newspaper will write an article about this application and suddenly we don't have 1,000 users, but we have 10,000. We don't know when it's going to happen. It may happen. So we don't know our peaks. And those are all good reasons for cloud. But still, let's have a look at hosting this on a dedicated server somewhere. Costs. So this is a nice diagram of the amount of unique visitors we expect and the amount of e-cards being sent. Now, if you have a look, I also have the red line, which are the hits on the web server. Because visits, okay, that's nice if you're measuring your marketing campaign. But hits is the thing you want to look at when building a web application, because those are actual hits on your web server and moments where your web server has to do something. So, well, it's a high estimate. It's also spread across the day. You see here in the night, there's not much users, but during the course of the day, there are several peaks where more users are coming, and then towards the evening, the amount of users is dropping again. So with regular hosting, what you would do is, well, you take an estimate, you wet your thumb, you say, well, we need 6 servers. If you have 6 servers, feel free to host it on that, but we don't have 6 servers at TDD, so we would have to either rent or lease a dedicated server somewhere or buy our own servers. Now, if we have 6 servers for the peak capacity, this means in a traditional model that we would also need to have 6 servers when there's actually only the usage of 1 server. Because we have to buy the hardware ourselves and we want to be able to cope with all the peaks in demands of the application, so we really need 6 servers. There's no option to have 2 servers all day and then 4 servers in the evening or at night. No such option in this model. So luckily, our vendor, where we lease these dedicated servers, offers a 3-month contract, which is good because I don't want to be stuck with 6 servers for a year if I'm only using them for 3 months. But still, it's this amount of euros each month. And I'm not spending this amount. Remember the photos and the hard drive you buy somewhere? Okay, I have 6 servers for peaks. And at peaks, I want to pay for 6 servers. But if I'm only using 2 servers, I don't want to pay for 2 servers. So let's have a look how this would look in Windows Azure. And we want to be smart about this and really make use of the cloud platform. So what we're going to do is implement some scaling logic in the application. And, well, we've estimated that on average we would have 2 servers, 4 servers during office hours, and 6 servers during the evening. Because during office hours, people start to surf and start to send e-cards, so we want more capacity. And in the evening, everyone under 70 is wide awake and is starting to work on their PCs, and we need even more capacity then. And then at night, we can drop back to 2. So if you have a look at this in the Azure price tag, it would be something like this. On average, you would have 3 instances, which you pay around 7 euros per day for these 3 instances, which means in a month, it's 600 euros and a bit. Then on storage, we calculated that we would need about 1 gigabyte each day to store e-cards on our server. Next, we also estimated that we would need about, well, let's say 2 gigabytes of data traffic every day. So in total, each month, we're paying 219 euros on Azure. Which means for the whole campaign, 3 months of doing this, we're only paying, well, something less than 700 euros. Well, in a traditional model, this would be, well, like 5 times as much. So clearly a good reason to go for cloud in this case. So let's go for the cloud. We have the Christmas card application Jill developed, and it's basically Silverlight on top of an ASP.NET host on top of storage. Now, in Gilles' model, hosted on a traditional web server, this would all be on the same machine. So the storage would be on the same machine, and the e-cards would be stored on the server. The ASP.NET host would also be on the same web server and would host service requests and storage services from there. Only the Silverlight application would run on the client's browser, and that's going to be the same. Now, for cloud, what we're going to do is the Silverlight application will be kept as is. The only thing we will change in there is the service reference. Say it should not look to our server, but it should look to the cloud for getting the list of colors and the list of all the wishes from the database. Next, we're going to put the ASP.NET host on Windows Azure. So we're taking the exact same application, moving it to Windows Azure with some specific changes, but not that much. Also, we're going to implement some scaling logic. Remember when I said we'll have two instances during the day, then four instances during office hour, and six instances during the evening? Or we're going to implement this in our application and have the application scale itself up and down again. Then for our storage, we will use Blob Storage, which is one of the storage services offered by Windows Azure, excuse me. Now, for this storage, this is an interesting one. Right now, TDD is focusing on Belgium, so we can have everything on Blob Storage on Azure. But if you're focusing on multiple regions, like USA and Europe and Asia, you can also make use of the content delivery network, which is something that replicates your data across multiple data centers, and every user will get this data from the nearest data center with higher speeds. So if you're aiming for something bigger than Belgium or bigger than Europe, you can use this content delivery network and have your data hosted on multiple locations to speed up access from clients. Okay, let's see if we can get our hands dirty. That's a bit too far. So what I have here is Gilles' application in my Visual Studio. It's exactly the same. I didn't add anything in there. Going to start this Zoomy tool. Okay, so you see here that we only have these projects, the web project, which is our ASP.NET host, and then the Silverlight application in there. Now, what I'm going to do first is, in my Visual Studio solution, is adding a new project. And what I'm doing here is exactly the same as you would do when you're creating a brand new, fresh Windows Azure application. You're using the project wizard to create a new Azure Cloud project. I'm going to say OK here. And the next thing we can do is add roles. So a role is something that will be hosted. So in this case, I can add a fresh ASP.NET application. I can add a fresh WCF service. I can add a fresh CGI code where I can host PHP or Java. But since I already have the application, I'm just going to skip this dialog because I don't want to add additional stuff in there. So that has been done, and we now have a cloud service project with an empty roles folder, and this roles folder should actually contain our application. We want, if we build this and deploy this, that our application is in the solution and will be packaged and uploaded to Windows Azure. So what we're going to do is add not a new web role project, not a new work role project, but just a web role project in our solution, which is the ASP.NET host Gilles has created. Okay, the next thing I'm going to do is maybe a bit dirty, but I know Gilles has somewhere in his code a service reference. And the service reference is pointing to his local host with some exotic port number running in the ASP.NET development server. And to make it easier, I'm going to change this to my local address, port 81. I'll explain in a minute why. Just going to replace all first. There we go. Lost focus. There we are. Now, what I have done is actually ensured that the Silverlight application will go look onto my local private cloud, which was installed with the development environment, to get its services from. So what you get when you install the Windows Azure SDK is, your local cloud. It's not the Windows Azure appliance, But it's similar to what you do with ASP.NET development. You have this little ASP.NET development web server, or you also get little development clouds on your machine. And this will run by default on port 81, and that's why I made this change. Now, the next thing I'm going to do, and that's quite important, is add a few references. You don't have to do this, but if you want a little bit of control on what your application is doing and you want to know what it's doing and when and why, you want these references. And the ones I'm going to add is the Windows Azure Diagnostics assembly, which allows me to read performance counters, log files, and stuff like that, everything that's happening on my solution. The other thing I want is the service runtime, which is basically a reference to the whole hosting environment on Windows Azure. So I want to be able to talk to the environment and say, well, I want to know how many instances are available, for example. Next thing, I want a storage client. Well, I'll be using Blob Storage to host the eCards data, so I will need to work with Blob Storage, and you can do this either by using a RESTful service and writing everything yourself, or just using this assembly, which is basically a wrapper of the REST service where you can work with storage and upload stuff into Blob Storage or Table Storage or queues. Going to add these. There we go. Next thing I'm going to do, also not really required, but still make it best practice to do this, I'm going to add a webroll.cs class. And this webroll.cs class, I have a nice snippet for this. There we go. It does some stuff. First of all, it's inheriting the role entry point class. Oh, that was not the correct keystroke. There we go. So you see the web role is inheriting role entry point. And role entry point is a class that has some methods. An onStart, a run, and an onStop method, and also some events. What this allows you is to hook into the process of your machine, of your application starting up on Windows Azure. So for example, what you want to do in the onStart method, as you can see here, is start a diagnostics monitor. Start the process that's reading my performance counter information, my log files, to ensure that I have diagnostics available. Another thing I'm doing here is setting where my application should read its configuration data from. So by default, in a regular application, where do you store your configuration? App.config, web.config, something like that. Well, you can do this here, but you won't be able to edit it at runtime. So what you can do is move all your configuration, all the things you might want to change while your application is running, into a service configuration file, which you can edit afterwards once your application is deployed. And what I'm doing here is actually saying to the whole cloud storage account system from the storage APIs where it should get its configuration data from. So you can have it read your web config here, but in this case I just said, well, ask the role environment for a configuration setting, and this will come from the global service configuration thing. Another funny thing I'm doing here is subscribing to the role environment.changing event. Now, there are some events, for example, once your application is starting, you will get notified if you subscribe to the event. In this case, I'm subscribing to the changing event, which means if an instance, a web server, is added to my project, my application will know. If my configuration has changed, my application will know. So those are two moments when this event is called and your code is executed about this event. And in this role environment.changing handler, what I'm doing, changing something. I want to know if my role environment configuration is changing. I don't care. I don't want to restart my instances. Because you can choose if your configuration changes, should my server reboot to pick up the new configuration data or not. And basically, something else I'm going to do is I'm not interested in when my topology changes and when servers are added or removed. I just want to ignore this event and keep on running. So no restarts, just accept it and cope with it. All right, let's see if this works. Pressing F5. And what you should now have is the Development Fabric UI, which is your local development cloud on your machine. And you will notice that, in theory, if I did everything well, my service will show up in there. So there we go. We have our TDD ChristmasCreator.web project hosted on my local development cloud. And as you can see, I'm running just one instance of it on my machine. If you're running two, you can do that in your local machine, simulate multiple servers for your application. You can go as high as you want, but I found it's around 10, it becomes a bit slow. But that may be my machine. Okay, my role state has started. And you will also see in the log file of my server that all the events from my role entry point are in here. So it's calling onStart and executing all the code I wrote in there. It's also calling the run methods, where I can also add some other code for when my application is running. Now, do be careful. I have seen a lot of people doing initializations in here, in the run event, which means that your application is in the load balancer, is getting requests from users, but you're still working, initializing. So this means if you've not finished initializing timely, your user will see a message, an error message. So all your initialization should really go into the onStart method and not into the run method. Just something you should be aware of. My application is running, and because I'm using IE9, it's apparently not really showing. So what I'm going to do is browse to it from another competing browser, which has also frozen, which is great when you're doing a demo on Remix. Let's try Internet Explorer again. I'm going to my local host port 81. There we go. It's really not loading. Do I have another browser? Ah, there we go. We have a new tab. Going to enter this one. And because I didn't have an index page, I will need to add something else, which is my test page name. Which is this one. There we go. Our application has loaded, and for some people this might seem familiar. I can click Start, works. I get a nice line of Christmas wishes. I can see my colors, stuff like that. Can click Next. I can insert a personal message. Hello from Remix. I can take a webcam picture. There we go. Put on a Santa hat. Happy New Year. Next, and I can send this. Problem is, I will hit a breakpoint here. Ah, save image to disk. My application is not aware yet of where it should host its image. So what it's doing now is just posting the image onto a folder on my local web server. Now this works fine on your local web server in your data center. It will work fine on your Azure data center as well. But because you have six instances, you will get e-cards spread across six instances. When an instance goes down or gets upgraded, or you add one or you remove one, your data is gone. Really, it's that easy. It's just lost. So the last thing you want to do is store data on your local disk. You can do this for temporary storage when you're working with files, for example, but you don't want to do this for permanent storage and really keep your e-cards data, for example, over there. So what we're going to do is replace that behavior and make sure that our e-cards are not stored on the local disk, but on blob storage. So here's how I'm going to do this. I'm quite radical, just stripping a bunch of code. Sorry, Gilles. And running another snippet. And what I'm doing here is sorry, that's not the right code. Demo send mail. There we go. What I'm doing here is just generating a random file name for my e-card. So just taking a GUID and adding .png to it. Next thing I'm doing, I'm calling save image to disk and then send mail. Of course, save image to disk is a bit well, not the best method name because I'm saving to blob storage, but you get the picture. Next thing I'm doing is, implementing the save image to disk method. So let's generate a method for that. And in there, what I will be doing is, a bunch of things. First thing I'm doing is I'm using a new stream in memory to store the image I received from Silverlight in memory. Next thing I'm doing is writing that stream onto a blob on blob storage. And here's how I do it. I open a new cloud storage account, which is the cloud storage API, which I can use to interact with blob storage and tables and queues. And I give it a cards connection string. Now, I don't have it, and I will create that one immediately, but it's a connection string similar to a database connection string, where you just say, well, if you want to work with blobs, use this string, and it will point you in the right direction, and it will contain your account name, your credentials, eventually a proxy you have to go to, stuff like that. That's inserted in the connection string. Next thing I'm doing is, based on this cloud storage account, I'm creating a blob client. And this blob client will be the main object I use to interact with blob storage on Windows Azure. And what I'm asking it is, well, blob storage, get me a reference to a container named cards. Now, a container in blob storage is something similar like a drive letter on your hard disk. If you have a container named cards, it's similar to having a drive letter named C on your disk. If you have another container named differently, it's similar to having a D or an E or an F drive on your local disk. It's just a bucket where you can store a lot of data in. Next thing I'm doing, I'm setting permissions on the container. Because I want to make sure that this container is available, and well, I get a reference to the container, but it may not be available. I might be the first user ever using this application. So what I'll do is create this container and set some permissions to it. By default, if you have a blob container, only you will have access to this blob container and all the files within. So you have a key and an account name and an account key. You can use that to access your blob storage. No one else without these credentials can do this. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm setting public access to blob, which means everyone can see every image that I store in this cards container. They can't retrieve a directory listing because I only said I want public access for blobs, but I would also be able to say, well, I want public access to my container, and in that case, people can see a directory listing of all the files available in your blob container. After that, I'm getting a blob reference with my image name, so the GUID followed by .png. Next thing I'm doing, uploading it from a stream from my memory. So I have my Silverlight application, which is posting a stream to my web service. I'm taking the same stream, copying it into memory, and then copying it to blob storage. Easy as that. Now, one thing left we have to do, which is sending the email. I'm not sure if Jill showed you, but you receive an email containing a link to your e-card. And in this case, you can see it in the source code. I'm just linking to something that's stored on my computer somewhere. I don't want this. I want this to be blob storage, so I want a perfect link in there. So what I'm going to do is also remove this one and replace it with something nicer. Namely, something that gets a configuration value of where my root URL is, where my e-cards are stored. So, I told you about the configuration. I need a cards connection string, and I need a cards root URL. So let's add these. So in order to work with blob storage, I will have to go to my role, click properties, go to the settings of it, and add a setting. I want my cards root URI, and I want my, what was it again? Cards connection string. I want these settings. The connection string should be of type connection string. And what I'm going to do in there is, just specify, use my development storage. I have my local private development cloud on my machine, but I also have a local development storage where I can simulate blob storage and table storage and stuff like that. If you're going to production, really using Azure for production usage, you may want to check this one and really add your account name, your account key, and upload your blobs in there. But for now, I'll just say development storage and go with that. My card's root URI, again, on the internet, this would be a nice URL pointing to my blob storage. On my development PC, it's a bit different. It's my local IP followed by 10,000, followed by dev storage account 1 and a slash. There we go. That's my nice URL to my blob storage on my local machine. Now, if I deploy to Windows Azure, I of course get a more nice URL, something like myaccountname.blob.core.windows.net. And if you don't want that, you can also specify your own domain name and link your own domain name to this storage account. So all possibilities are there to make this a little bit prettier than something like this. I think I'm set. And if I run this, I should be able to have my e-cards stored on my local machine. Now, because the internet here is quite slow, I'm not really going to use email for this. And I'm just going to intercept here what the link to my URL would be where my blob is stored. So let's try this one. I'm going to copy this one. There we go. Run it again. Deploy it to my local cloud. It's starting. It's busy, which means it's working. Okay, OnStart is being called. My diagnostics will be initialized. My settings will be specified. And there we go, roll state started. Okay, back to here. Back to my TDD Christmas card creator. I click start. I say I want some simple New Year's wishes. But green this time. Next. Just going to skip this one. Next. Take another picture, which I'll do pretty fast. There we go. Click the send button, and what's happening now is the Silverlight application is uploading the card to my development environment, and my breakpoint is getting hit. In here, what I should have is a mail message, and my body should contain the link to where the image has been stored. So let's copy this one. There we go. Stop the application because I won't send an email. And I can just go here and browse to my local storage. And for some reason, it hasn't uploaded it yet because I'm creating the email first. So that was a mistake of mine. But as you can see, you can run your application on a store, on a compute account and have a web application running in your web role. And you can offload several files to your storage account. Now, if I wasn't as dumb as I did in this demo, I would just be able to see the picture that's stored on there and get it directly from storage, meaning that all the traffic and all the hits going for a real e-card are not hitting my web server, but instead are hitting the storage account, which is also interesting because maybe I can scale back to one or two servers less and pay less because some traffic can go to blob storage. Okay. So my application is finished. Let's see if we can enhance this. So for some reason. So I've migrated to the cloud, and the next thing I'm going to do is reduce costs. And for that, I'm going to use a scaling mechanism. Remember the moment where we said, well, normally it's two instances. During office hours, we want to go for 4 instances, and afterwards, we want to go for 6 instances. Well, that's what we're going to do next. Scaling is quite easy, and I can show you. If you go to Visual Studio, to our Christmas card creator, you right-click your roles, properties, you can specify your instance count. You can just say, well, this one should be 10, or should be 20, or 2, or whatever number you want to insert there, and you have more servers. Scaling is easy. You can also go to the Windows Azure portal, edit your configuration file, and just, well, change this number, click on deploy, and 15 minutes later, your instances are there, they're running. So it's quite easy to do, but it's not automatic. And what would be nice is to have something like this, where you would, instead of just having the instances count hard-coded in your configuration, Something like, well, I want a minimum amount and a maximum amount. Why a minimum? Well, I don't want it to become zero and have my service unavailable. Why a maximum? Well, I don't want to be billed for a few million dollars every month. Would this be possible? Well, unfortunately, no. It's not possible. When should it scale? Should it scale on the load of your web server? Well, for most situations, this may work. But for some situations, you want to scale based on an amount of work that's waiting. Say you have a queue containing messages where you have information that you want to have processed in your worker role, for example. Well, you may want to scale on the amount of messages that are pending. If you have 2 messages, you're okay. If you have 1,000 messages sitting in there, well, maybe you want to increase the number of instances and have more processing power to process these 1,000 messages. How should it scale? I told you it takes about 50 minutes to scale from 1 to 10 or from 1 to 2 or something, but that's 50 minutes where you don't have control over the amount of instances. What you will see in the portal is just this spinning cursor you have in Windows. By the way, what's the name? Anyone knows the name of that thing? In older versions of Windows, you had the hourglass, but now it's just a spinning something. You only see this. You don't see the amount of instances. You don't see it scaling up or it's scaling down. You just see, I'm working. And during these 50 minutes, you can't really do a thing with it. So if during these 50 minutes, your peak keeps growing and you get a lot of more visitors and a lot of more hits on your application, well, you're stuck with your amount of instances for 15 minutes. So maybe in such cases, you want to both look at how many users are coming and what's the trend of what's happening. Maybe you want to add 10 instances instead of 1 at this time, but Windows Azure won't know because you didn't tell it. So that's another reason why this is not possible. Another thing, who or what should be scaling your application? Should it be Windows Azure? Well, would be nice. Should it be a service running on your own data center, some monitoring tool, monitoring your application and scaling up your application? Well, maybe. Should it be a dedicated worker role that's hosted on Windows Azure? Well, maybe it's a good solution for you. In our solution, what we'll do is we'll have the application monitor itself and scale itself up and down once hosted on Windows Azure. So in order to do this, you will have to use the management APIs. And again, this is simply a REST-based service that you have on the internet, and you can write your own client for it, or you can use something from the samples website on code.msdn.com. And you can use this to manage your deployment. For example, what you can do is view your deployments. Check how many deployments are there, how many instances are in there. You can delete deployments. You can upload new deployments, deploy your application from within a code. You can edit your configuration, which is interesting because the instance count is in the configuration. And that's a good pointer to know where to change the amount of instances programmatically. Another thing you can do is list and view the properties of your hosted services. So for example, if you want to know, man, I forgot the URL to my application, well, you can use the management API and get the URL to your application, for example. This also exists in a PowerShell version where you can actually script your deployment. So let's say you're building a script that packages your application, uploads it to Blob Storage, and then deploys it to Windows Azure. You can automate this. You can do it using PowerShell. You can also do this using MS Build. So for example, if you have a TFS build server and you have your application doing continuous integration and at one time you want to automatically push the latest build to Windows Azure, well, you can do this with an MS Build task based on this REST API. But again, if you're using this in .NET, ensure you're working with a sample code. This is not production code. Well, it's as good as production code, but the samples is some disclaimer. Now, how this works is, the management API requires a certificate. You can upload a certificate to the Windows Azure portal, and you can say, well, people logging in with this certificate, they can manage my deployments. They can add new hosts, they can change the configuration, they can deploy or undeploy my application, things like that. You can add up to 5 of these certificates, after which, in code, your developer can use the certificates to connect to the management service on Windows Azure and, for example, trigger a deployment or something. Now, the fun thing is, in our situation, this is what we are trying to achieve. We have 2 instances on regular intervals. We have 4 instances during office hours, 6 instances during the evening. Well, what we get is this nice graph of the number of instances. And if you search for the average, you're on 3, which means you have the capacity of 6 servers on peak usage, but you're only paying for 3. Why? Because you're scaling smart. So really, that's something I recommend. Scale your application. Do this automatically, and it's a great way to reduce costs in your deployment and have more capacity when you need more capacity and not paying too much for it. So let's see how we can do this. We'll return to Visual Studio. I'm going to close this one because it takes a little bit more work and I have prepared something. I have added another project in here. So you see my tdd.scaling project, and this thing will contain a provisioning provider, which is something that uses the management API, connects to the management API, and can change the number of instances I'm running. Basically, what it will allow is I get an interface like this in my application. I can just say, hey, Azure, give me the amount of instances, or say, hey, Azure, scale up or scale down to this amount of instances. Why did I do this? Well, because usually what you would have to do is edit your service configuration, parse your XML, and really set the amount of instances in XML. So what I did is create an abstraction for this, just saying I want this amount of instances instead of parsing the XML myself every time I want to scale. Let's see how we implemented this in our web role. So I did this in my web role, the startup class for my application. And in there, what I'm doing is, where did it go? What I'm doing is, I'm starting another thread on start. So what I'm doing is, on my Azure web role, I will have my web application running, hosting Silverlight, hosting services, things like that. But I will also start another thread in the background on my machine over there, which will do the scaling. So I'm saying start scaling thread. And in there, what I'm doing is using my provisioning provider. So this class with just 2 methods, namely getInstanceCount and setInstanceCount. Now, if I want to know the amount of instances that's currently running, that's quite funny. You have the role environment class available, which contains a collection of all the actual instances hosting your application. So you can get information on how many are there. You can get their internal and external IP addresses in the data center. You can get the host names. It's great, but it doesn't work out of the box. And here's how you enable it. You just go to the properties of your web role. And what you do in the endpoint section is enable an internal endpoint. Usually you don't want to do this, but you can do this if you want to connect between roles. If you want to have your roles communicating with each other within the Azure data center, you can enable this. But you also have to enable this if you want to know information about your deployment. If you don't enable this and you ask for the amount of instances, Azure will always say 1. Which is quite funny. If you enable this, it will give you the correct number and the correct information. Then after you do this, you can just have a rest, few seconds. Afterwards, we start an infinite loop containing our scaling rules. And what we say is just an if-else construction where we say, well, if the date is more than this and the hour is less than this, go to 2 instances. In the other case, go to 4. In the other case, go to 6. Quite easy to do, but something funny in here. You see that I'm casting to universal time. One thing you should know about hosting on Windows Azure is all of the Azure components are running in universal time, so the UTC time zone. If you're developing locally on your machine, Your machine will have your current time, and your application will also live in that time zone. But once you go to deployment, you will be in UTC. So in order to, well, reduce the amount of bugs in your application, just cast it to universal time and work with that. Much easier. It's also quite funny, for example, when you work locally on your application and you work with a remote SQL Azure and you don't do this, what you will get is that SQL Azure is living in the past, so it seems. So really cast it to universal time and work with this one. And that's why I'm saying 9 o'clock office hours and my code says 8. In there, I'm just saying, well, this should be the instance count, and well, let's run the application. It's now 3 hours in the afternoon, so in theory, we should get 4 instances. It's starting. I'm starting with 0 instances on my web application. My thread is starting up, and the scaling logic is kicking in. And what you will see is that my role is started, so shouldn't be too long. It should start scaling. Because we're within the office hours region, it should scale to 4. There we go. It's firing up a process. And what you will see in here is that a number of instances are added, which is quite, well, fun to see, and it's easy. They're all running now. I suddenly have 4 instances. If I say scale down to 2, it will go to 2. If it's evening and it should scale up to 6, it will just scale up to 6 and save you costs. Great. Now, how do I deploy this? My application is finished. How do I deploy this to Windows Azure? What you would normally do is go to the Windows Azure portal and create your solution over there. So I created a tdd.cloudapp.net website over there in Windows Azure. And what you can do is just, for example, in staging, deploy your application, upload the package containing your application, click on start, and your application will be running on Windows Azure. Easy as that. Well, who thinks this can be easier? I do. In Visual Studio, and by the way, for PHP developers and Java developers in Eclipse, this is exactly the same. You can just right-click your project and click Publish. And in there, you'll have to do some things. First of all, I'm going to make this a bit larger. You have to say, where do you want to deploy, using which credentials? Just like with the management API, this thing is using the management API. And the first thing you have to do is upload the certificate to Windows Azure, ensuring that people presenting this certificate can do something with deployments. If you have this, I have specified mine, you can select the slots to deploy to. So for example, I can deploy to the left part on the portal, production, or I can deploy to staging. Next thing, it will not upload the package immediately to the Windows Azure portal. It will just upload the package to Blob Storage and then tell Windows Azure, hey, look over there, there's a new deployment waiting there for you, take that one and deploy it. So that's the other setting I have here. I have to specify which storage account will be used to upload my application to Windows Azure. Very interesting feature if you're using Visual Studio Ultimate, you can enable IntelliTrace for .NET 4 roles. So if you have a .NET 4 application running on Windows Azure, you can enable IntelliTrace and get more insight, more debugging information on what your application is doing. Don't do this for production usage because it will slow your application down, which is good for Microsoft because you might want to scale up in those cases. But you don't want to do this in production. But if you have to use it during development, feel free to just enable it, and you'll get more detailed information about your deployment. I'm not going to deploy because of the speed of the internet, because it might take a while. But I did this before. So you can see here in my browser that on my TDD project, my application is already running. So there we go. It's loading. And what you will see some information on the application. First of all, you will see it's working. You will see my deployment. My deployment has a label. I deployed it a few days ago. I see the amount of instances. So for example, I'm currently at 1 instance. I disabled the scaling logic because otherwise I would pay for this solution. I can configure it, so I can click configure, get my service configuration file and just edit it on the fly, click save, and it will be redeployed to all my instances running my application. What I can also do is change operating system settings. This means Azure has something similar to Windows 2008 running, but if your application requires several hotfixes to be either available or either be not available, you can select a specific Azure operating system version that contains or doesn't contain specific hotfixes and really tailor the environment a bit to your usage and your situation. What you also see here is a deployment ID. Very useful if you have to contact support. And you also see the website URL. Now, by default, you will get a URL something like youraccountname.cloudapp.net. Now, unless you can register www as your application name, this is really not an interesting domain name. So what I want to do is link my custom domain name to my Azure domain name. And how you can do this is quite easy. I created a domain named tdd.demotime.net, and I created a CNAME record for it. And all you have to do is point this CNAME record to your Windows Azure Cloud application. Really, it takes too long. So basically what's happening is tdd.demotime.net just links through to tdd.cloudapp.net. I can browse to my ugly Cloud App URL, but I can also browse to my... if my tabs would work. Going to try in Internet Explorer. I can go to tdd.demotime.net and load my application from there. It's loading. It will probably take forever. So I'm just... browser is not responding. Oh, there we go. Our application has been loaded. I can just start creating my my e-cards online using a custom domain name. You can also do this for storage. Remember when I told you we're hosting the images on blob storage? And we had this ugly URL containing dots and colons and really ugly. You can also map your custom domain name to that. And for example, you would map storage.tdd.com or something to your storage account and have your e-cards hosted on there. It's a way to brand your blob storage account and use this in your application. Let's see. My browser is really crashing. Okay, deployment. There's one important thing, which you can see, which you can see here, behind the blue screen of not responding. You can see a cube. And there's a saying in the cloud about this cube. And the saying is as follows. When the box is gray, you're okay. When the box is blue, a bill is due. It's an important one to remember. If you're working with Windows Azure, really nail this one to your wall. If you deploy your application but don't start your application, you're getting billed because your virtual machine has been reserved. It's sitting there, especially for you. The bill will be due, the box will be blue. So remember this one. If you don't need your deployment, you're just developing and you really don't need it, undeploy it, remove it completely, and you won't receive a bill for it if you're still within the limits of your subscription. Now, Gilles, can I invite you here? It works on my cloud. I deployed it to production. And Gilles, small applause for Gilles, everyone. There we go.
Is the microphone? Okay, let me test your work. You're sure that everything works?
Fingers crossed, everyone.
Okay. Can I test an internet as well?
Or you can test it.
Okay. So we're now live testing. It's now connecting to the services. Yes, that seems to be working. That's fine.
So on production, I also added the color Azure because we're hosting on Azure. So
I'll do it in Azure then?
Yep.
Okay. You're an Azure fan, so I'll do it in Azure. Okay, so this data now is coming from Azure services.
Yep.
Great. So, Maarten, I wish you all the best. That's fine. That's a good wish. Okay, thanks.
Maybe a pile of money would be useful. But
okay, and a pile of money. And a lot of money, so I'll put it like this. I'm not responsible for giving you that money.
Okay.
Okay.
I will mob you afterwards.
Yeah. then you won't have a lot of money either. So. Okay, so I'll take a picture again. I'll try it again. Oh, there we go again. It's already being used. It's open in a second window.
Yeah, it's probably still open in...
Then we have a problem.
The browser that's not responding.
Yeah, this is going to crash probably. I have to restart, I think.
The first step in there.
Yeah, but I cannot get out of the screen anymore, I think. No, I have to redo it. But is this one I can close?
The first step in there, yeah.
Yeah, but now it's open in that one. So can I close this one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's try it again.
Okay, let's try it again.
I'm going to restart.
Or just use an existing picture. The webcam will work.
Yeah. It's probably taking my picture that went all the way wrong. So. Okay,
so no pile of money probably for the demo not working.
No. There we go again. I'm simply typing blah blah now. That's shorter.
That's a nice wish.
You can wish whatever you want. Okay, let's take an image from disk. Let's take the pictures folder. Let's take the penguin. It's not allowing me to drag.
You can just select it, and there you go.
Yeah. Put the Santa hat on the penguin. There we go.
Perfect.
Okay, let's try sending it now. Now we have to wait for the upload, I assume.
Yeah, you will get an email eventually. It's working.
But it's working. You did a great job.
So,
thanks.
Are you interested in working with Azure?
Of course. I think it's for the people of TDD, this would be a great... great plus for the application. They have no more worries about their application going down if there's a lot of traffic on the site.
Okay,
I think it's great.
I invite you to have a seat and see if you can start working with Windows Azure. So if you want to start working with Windows Azure, there's three simple steps. You'll need an account, you'll need some tooling, and a lot of time just to play, learn, develop, deploy your applications. First of all, getting an account. Who doesn't have a Live ID? Not that many. Actually, none, which is good. You can just go to mug.microsoftonline.com, register for the free introductory offer, where you will get 25 hours for free, and you can just start creating your Azure projects. So here's an overview of all the offers that are currently available. You can just pay per use. But for example, if you have an MSDN subscription, you actually get one virtual machine for 1 month for free in that subscription. Also, if you don't have an MSDN subscription, just go for the introductory special, where you get 25 hours of time on your Windows Azure deployment. You get 500 megabytes of storage. It's not enough for a big application, but it's enough to play with. You get SQL Azure, you get data transfer, and best of all, it's free. If you want to get a tools, there's a lot of fancy URLs for that on downloads.microsoft.com, but the easiest way is going to azure.com and clicking Get the Tools and the SDK. It's there, just click it and you get the tools and the SDK. For the PHP guys and girls in the audience, just go to windowsazure4e.org and you will find the tools over there. There's a plugin for Eclipse. You will also find command line packaging. So if you want to package your application and upload it to Windows Azure, and you hate Eclipse, or you hate Visual Studio, you can also do it command line, package it, upload it, and deploy it. Next thing you will have to do is, play with it, learn with it, develop it, and there's a lot of training material online, also again through azure.com. There's a lot of videos on there, which are very interesting to watch, and something I really like to watch is the weekly episode of the Cloud Cover Show by Steve Marks, one of the guys on the Windows Azure teams, together with Ryan Dunn, and they're taking some subject every week around Windows Azure, playing with it, talking about it. It's like a podcast, but with video with it. So with that, what to remember? First of all, Windows Azure contains Windows Azure, which is hosting, which is storage, which is queues, which is eventually some data service. It contains SQL Azure, where you can just take your existing SQL Server database, put it on SQL Azure, and you have a relational database sitting in the cloud. It's also Windows Azure Platform FFabric, where you have the connection between your local data center and your Windows Azure solution, or you can connect the authentication. You can externalize authentication to your own Active Directory, and you can connect between both applications. We've also seen that Windows Azure is perfect for peak situations, or where you expect a steady growth in the amount of users for your application, you're doing a campaign or something. It's really a perfect fit, and it will save you a lot of money compared with traditional hosting. But there's many more situations where Windows Azure may be appropriate, or just may not be appropriate, might I add. Another thing I want to give you is implement scaling. Do this for every application you put on Windows Azure. It will give you more performance because you can scale up at the time you need it, but it will give you a lower bill because you will scale down when you don't need the capacity, and that's what cloud is all about. Last thing, get started on azure.com. If I see the empty room next doors, and I will probably assume you're all heading off to azure.com and building your own first cloud application.